Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It's March. Duke is always about March and the postseason. What is the mentality once you guys hit the postseason?
Killer skill. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we're delighted to bring in our guy, Eli Herskovich, who knows everything there is to know about college basketball. We talk all year long. You are kind enough to endure talking Loyola with me whenever we're together, and I guess we can't talk about it now because they got eliminated from the NIT last night, which was a pity.
Yeah, but we're not really going to get much into that.
We won't get much into it, but the tournament is about to begin, Eli. This is your time of year, and David is giving me a hard time because I'm still working on my bracket.
Yeah, well, it's your third time through.
What's
third
wrong
version?
With that?
Because at 7:10 on Sunday night, you should be sitting down and be okay. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fill it out.
No,
although Eli.
We
can do that
stuff.
Because Eli has researched all everything, you know, everything there is to know about all the teams in the tournament and even the ones that weren't in the tournament. So
let's start with, should we start with our Final Four predictions?
How about we go through every region, the biggest upset?
Okay.
Because
all right.
Eli,
that sounds fair. Biggest upset.
You would probably, okay, so if you start in the Duke region, in the East region. Now, Belmont last
region.
Night.
Duke upset. Is that it?
Belmont last night beats Temple. Now, I have Belmont winning a couple games, but the next game is against Maryland, 11 versus 6. What do you think there?
Yeah, and Maryland's had so many turnover issues going back to the last month, really. They got on a nice stretch. They lost 3 of 4 in the middle of Big Ten play, losing to Michigan State on the road, along with another Big Ten game in there in the mix, too. And then they beat Purdue at home, one of the better Big Ten teams throughout this season. Turnover issues, though, they have one of the highest turnover rates in college basketball, and they don't force turnovers. So it's not just about opponents getting up in them and their ball pressure completely forcing their offense into disarray, but this offense has just sputtered down the stretch of games. A huge opportunity at home against a Michigan team a couple weeks ago, just to be able to beat a legitimate Big Ten contender that's made runs in the NCAA tournament the last two seasons. They have a really good front court in Bruno Fernando and Jalen Smith. But you think about the way Belmont shoots threes, and while Maryland wants to play at that pace, they want to push the tempo, just like a good Belmont team that we saw last night, able to come back in the Temple game. I really like Belmont's guard play, and Dylan Windler can shoot the ball. Had 5 points last night, but also had, in effect, 14 rebounds. I really like Belmont's guard play and their ability to push tempo or push Maryland's tempo off.
So you're taking an upset there?
Yeah, I really like Belmont in that spot.
Yeah, all right. So we got an upset there. I'm just going through my list. I don't know that I have a ton of upsets. I had at one point taken Minnesota because I thought the Patino factor would come into play. But as I went through my third go-round, I now have Louisville winning that game and then bowing out to Michigan State. It's a fun game. Because it's Patino's son and the school that fired Patino, and I think that he will have knowledge of the opponent. But what's the breakdown there?
That would be an upset. That'd be a 10-7.
Yeah, I'm going with Louisville.
Are you really?
I am.
I'm going Minnesota.
I know you are.
Louisville.
I know. I was with Minnesota the first go round, and I switched it.
Yeah, I don't really like this Minnesota team. Not to burst your bracket, David.
Right.
It's just one pick. But you think about Minnesota, especially against a Michigan team, and while Louisville isn't as good as Michigan by any means, especially defensively, Michigan's ball pressure is ridiculous with Xavier Simpson starting off in the backcourt when Michigan lost in the Big Ten tournament semifinal. But Amir Coffey, Minnesota's wing, just has these stretches, had a big game against Purdue and then bows out by himself essentially in the first half. Jordan Murphy can be sporadic offensively. So while you have the Rick Pitino factor, of course he wants to get revenge. He wants his son to get revenge in the first round. Cunningham, Louisville's guard, I think is going to be able to control the pace in this one. And while Louisville had that down stretch after they lost to Duke at home, blowing that 23-point lead in the middle of ACC play, I think Louisville's guard play is able to push past a Minnesota team that's really been inconsistent offensively.
All right, looking at the West region, then.
Well,
I
let's
think...
finish through it, because okay. just making sure, there's no other upsets you like there. We got, it would be Duke against VCU as opposed to Central Florida. I think that's a close one. I actually took Central Florida. Mississippi State against VaTech.
I like Liberty.
You like Liberty going through Mississippi State?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about VaTech? Can they get two wins there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Especially in the first round, St. Louis's offense, even though they were able to win the A-10 tournament, which was impressive. But you mentioned VCU. Marcus Evans, the guard, was out with the injury. So and VCU bowed out in the quarterfinals of the A-10 tournament. I like St. Louis. Porter Moser coached there for a stint as well after he got fired at Illinois State. But for me, Virginia Tech's offense, especially with their starting point guard back, Justin Robinson, you go back to that Duke win at home, they were able to beat Duke in Blacksburg without Justin Robinson. I know Zion was out for that game, but Virginia Tech's offense, their ball pressure is a different animal with Justin Robinson, and they shoot the three ball better than a lot of teams in college basketball.
You just mentioned Porter to Panda to Molly, didn't you?
I had to bring it up.
Yeah, that's fine.
So let's stay in the East then, okay? If you want, because you have another big upset in the East. Michigan State, you have beating Duke.
Correct.
That's your Final Four team in the East?
Yes. Just overall with Michigan State, Cassius Winston is a different animal for them at the point guard position. I bet against him on Sunday against Michigan, and Michigan's up 13 points in the second half. But speaking of sporadic offenses, they've blown so many leads. This is now three straight times this season that the Wolverines have struggled in the second half against Michigan State. Winston, even with the bum knee, the knee tendonitis, and with the toe injury, has been phenomenal down the stretch in games for Michigan State. Matt McQuaid, I think, is also going to be a difference maker in that game. His on-ball defense against R.J. Barrett. And then Xavier Tillman is the difference maker in the front court for Michigan State. A really good defensive big that can match up with Zion in the half court.
I had the same thing, and I just switched it.
Got to switch back
now. I got Duke. Yeah, I had Duke. I had Michigan State beating Duke, and I had Michigan State against Michigan for a chance for a title game. I thought that would be awesome. And then I switched it out because I thought, okay, it's Zion's tournament. Zion's win the tournament. And now I got to go back again. Son of a gun. This is going to be an ordeal.
In the West, Marquette, Murray State is the best individual matchup of the first round. You have Marcus Howard versus John Morant, and that's going to be one of the great individual matchups. As a team-wise, I think Murray State can beat Marquette, not playing real well. Is that an upset that you see happening?
Yeah, I have that as well. So we're on the same page there, David. I actually didn't like Murray State's chances before I saw the bracket. When teams – John Morant is a sensational player, will be a top three pick regardless of where he goes in that order. But Murray State, when teams collapse on John Morant, they have one of the worst three-point shooting teams in college basketball. So you have to be able to space the floor with your star. They don't do it well, but they defend the three well. They give up the fourth lowest three-point percentage in college basketball, and that's a Marquette team that relies on threes. Mm-hmm. They have a top 10 three-point rate in the country, whether it's scoring rate or just three-point attempts per game. Marcus Howard also has the wrist injury. We saw that come into effect in the Big East tournament semifinal against Seton Hall. So while Marquette has the offense that can guide you through a run in the NCAA tournament, I think Murray State's defense is able to create a lot of transition opportunities for John Morant. John Morant has the highest assist rate in the country, and he's at his best when he's on the open floor. I think Murray State's able to stymie Marquette's offense, get in transition, and again, controlling the pace is so key, especially in upsets. Right. I think Murray State gets it done.
What about Marcus Howard matching up with him defensively? I mean, do they have to really go after him in the same fashion? I mean, this is the Big East Player of the Year against a guy that, as you say, is a lottery pick.
Is a freak.
Yes.
You're talking about his wingspan and just his ability to defend. On the other end, though, with Ja Morant, Sakaar Anem is going to be the X factor for Marquette. Not a lot of people are talking about, because that's one of the better on-ball defenders, maybe the best on-ball defender in the Big East Conference. Can shoot the three as well. If he doesn't shoot the three ball well in that game, while you have the Hauser brothers who are important, if he doesn't slow down Morant, and it's not going to matter if Murray State's able to get on a transition then Marquette's in big time trouble.
Before we hit the break, who do you see coming out of the West? Any other upsets in that region?
I got Texas Tech. I love this Red Raiders team. Chris Beard is so underappreciated, even after last year's Elite Eight run. I had him 200-1 to win the NCAA tournament before the season last year.
Oh.
And if Keenan Evans doesn't have that foot injury, speaking of injuries like Cassius Winston, I think Texas Tech's able to upset Villanova in the Elite Eight. That defense, the highest or the lowest adjusted defensive efficiency in college basketball. And as much as Zion Williamson is important to Duke, Jarrett Culver is just as important to Texas Tech.
I just have a beeline going to the Final Four again.
I think they could lose in the first round of Montana.
Are you really? Did you pick that?
Wow.
I, against the spread, I did.
Is that your 15-2 upset?
Yes.
There wouldn't be a bigger upset in the tournament, Eli.
No,
there wouldn't. Wow. But you go back to last year, the NCAA tournament committee screwed up because you're not supposed to have back-to-back teams or a two-seed, whatever it may be, play the same team two times in a row, going back to last season's NCAA tournament. Michigan crushed Montana in the first round last year, but they get them again this year. So it's weird, and I expect Montana, even with their best player out of this game, just the familiarity factor, Montana has a lot of their starting guys back from last season.
So you have Gonzaga going down to Texas Tech?
Yes.
Or do you have them
in the Elite Eight, okay. Correct.
So that's you don't have a lot of confidence in the Zags.
No, and that goes back to St. Mary's, who I know we're going to get to later. You go back to the West Coast Conference title game. When Gonzaga can't control the pace, Zach Norvell shot terribly, a Simeon grad here in Chicago, going out to the West Coast. When he doesn't shoot the ball well, when Killian Tilly, Rui Hachimura, and Brandon Clark aren't able to control the boards and control the pace because they're electric in transition, Gonzaga gets in trouble, and they're often sputtered against St. Mary's team in the conference title game.
Wow. All right, Eli. So hold on. We're going to get the other two brackets, and we'll get some more upsets.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Fairleigh Dickinson is going to go to the first round with their first NCAA tournament win ever.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have Eli Hershkowitz in here with us, and we're breaking down the tournament. And Eli is... he doesn't like the chalk. He's got MSU and Texas Tech on the left side of the bracket. Let's switch over to the right side, and we'll find out what crazy ideas you have here. Let's start with Virginia. You know, the style of play, they got a great player. They're a little bit better than they have been, but the style of play has often left them in a lot of close games, and it's hard to win close games repeatedly in the tournament. I have Tennessee beating them. I like Tennessee.
I have Purdue
that side.
Getting the Final Four.
Well, that's the same. Yeah, we're both thinking the same way. What about you, Eli?
Yeah, I have out of that region Tennessee getting to the Final Four. I'm not the biggest fan of Purdue because Carson Edwards can shoot them out of a game as quickly as he could shoot them back into it. 7-24 against not a great Minnesota defense in the Big Ten quarterfinal. It's really 3-point shooting. It's similar to an Auburn team that I know we're going to get to in the Midwest region. If you don't shoot well, if Carson Edwards gets shot happy, Purdue could be done pretty quick.
Is there a first round game that could be an upset potential? I have St. Mary's beating Villanova.
I love that. I have that as well. I think the line right now is +6. So I would jump all over that, and I would take both the money line and the against the spread play right there. See, it's similar to the John Beilein factor, right? People are going to take Michigan. People are going to take Villanova because those two coaches matched up in the national final last year. And while Jay Wright, one of the best coaches in the country, St. Mary's defense, the 44th lowest 3-point clip they've given up this season. And Villanova loves the three. They're obsessed with the three, just as Marquette, two Big East teams. I think St. Mary's is able to control the glass. Jordan Ford, one of the better point guards in college basketball, especially from the mid-major perspective. And I think he controls the pace and St. Mary's gets it done there. But my overall pick is Tennessee. I actually have them beating Wisconsin in the Elite Eight.
Really?
A rematch of Wisconsin-Virginia. See, everyone's all over Oregon because the Pac-12, because they won the Pac-12 yes. tournament title. The Pac-12 is trash. Absolute trash, even though they got three teams in this year. So Wisconsin, I think, is able to advance stylistically. That would be just an awful matchup to watch on TV. Wisconsin versus Virginia, two of the slowest-paced teams in college basketball. But I have Tennessee getting out of that region.
UC Irvine is a team a lot of people like, especially now Kansas State has another injury.
Yeah, Dean Wade, one of the better Big 12 bigs, and means so much to that team because Kansas State was able to refine their three-point shooting in Big 12 play once Wade got back from the injury. He was out with the foot injury during the first half of Big 12 play, too, came back in the midst of it. I got UC Irvine to pull off the upset here. I love that pick. They go 7 or 10 deep scoring-wise. And depth-wise, Kansas State doesn't have the three-point shooting. Again, without Wade, they can't play inside out. UC Irvine has one of the better defenses in the country, top 50, and adjusted defense, controlling the pace there, too. And Kansas State can get in ruts where they don't score for 6 or 10 minutes.
Let's go to the Midwest region, where are otherwise known as the Cheaters region, because Bruce Pearl and Kelvin Sampson are there.
But Roy Williams, too.
Oh, there you go. Houston could make a run. Auburn, you like a lot. Any big upsets in the first round there, you see?
Yeah, looking at that overall, Seton Hall is probably my biggest upset. I mean, at 10-7, but everyone's all over Wofford. I have a future on Wofford, but I'm not letting futures decide my bracket, my against the spread picks and my picks to move on. I look at the matchup, and Seton Hall's perimeter defense has improved a lot in Big East play. They gave up the fourth lowest three-point scoring rate, and that's a Wofford team that loves the three, the second highest three-point percentage in college basketball. Fletcher McGee, you want to talk about good matchups. Fletcher McGee against Miles Powell. Miles Powell can go off in a hurry. So can Fletcher McGee. I think it might be better if Marcus Howard is hampered. So I have Seton Hall moving past Wofford in the first round.
What do you think of Kentucky? You have them out fairly early, right? You have them losing to Houston?
Yeah, so that would be in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
If Seton Hall advances, the Hall were able to beat Kentucky earlier this season on their home court. Now, that was when Kentucky was really struggling.
That was at home.
Yeah, that's true, too. Quade Green just transferred to Washington at the time, who was their backup point guard. So a Kentucky team that's much better from three than they've been in years past. Keldon Johnson can shoot it. Tyler Hero, Ashton Hagans is really the key to that team, because a freshman point guard, if he turns the ball over, and Seton Hall can't create turnovers, but a Houston team that their ball pressure, it's not like they're aiming for the turnovers. Their ball pressure just creates a lot of havoc in the half court sets. Now Kentucky could deal with that with Travis and PJ Washington, but PJ Washington is also a little banged up. I expect them to hamper his game down the line in the tournament.
So your Final Four is
Auburn out of the Midwest region.
That's insane.
That was the number 11 team in the country coming into the year.
That's so, a limb. You're out on a limb there, Eli.
I understand, right? That. Talent wise, though, it's similar to me to a Kentucky team. Speaking of Kentucky, that upset Ohio State in the Sweet 16 going back to 2011, I think it was, when Chris Holtmann wasn't even the Buckeyes coach at the time. Thad Mata was the Ohio State's coach. And that Kentucky team got hot at the right time. Brandon Knight in that and the Wildcats were projected to be a Final Four team that season. I think Julius Randle was on that team, or maybe that was the year after. But either way, Brandon Knight was able to guide him. I expect Auburn's backcourt with Bryce Brown and Jarrett Harper. This team turns you over to the highest opponent's turnover rate in college basketball, defensively blocking shots as well. When they play at their pace and they're able to jack up shots like nobody's business, Auburn's advancing to the Final Four. Mark my words on that.
You got Michigan State, Texas Tech, Tennessee, Auburn. What's your title game and who wins it?
Michigan State over Auburn. Izzo and the Big Ten cut down the nets for the first time since 2000.
Wow.
Wow, Eli, you are out on
the
limb.
Action Network. You did that all without notes.
Yes.
Impressive, Eli.
It's a blast.
You got out on a branch, on a limb, and then you sawed it off without any notes.
That's what you got to do sometimes.
I love it.
That's good stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.